Well, I'm going to start off with a testimony here, a revelation. Brother Keith Boyd from Birmingham, Alabama, is going to share something with you, and then maybe some more folks will. Keith, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith has done
an awful lot of hard work on our site and on our audios and in bringing them back to life, you know, those old audios that were on cassettes at one time, you know, old cassettes. And he's done an awesome job of restoring them and making them useful to you. And many of you have listened to those so many times, you know, and Keith's done an awful lot of work on that, and we appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Brother Dave. I did want to share my testimony with you. It's probably not as adventuresome as some of the ones I've heard over time here, but it's an awesome thing to look back in the last few years and see how God, just one thing after another in my life, has been there. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. I met the Lord when I was 17, but I was not through with the world at that time. So I'm 51 now, to give you a frame of reference for that. So I went back in the world, but I did have an experience with the Lord, and I can look back and see Him, you know, in all those years. And you know, my wife was praying for me during that time, and I traveled with a man who was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I loved the Lord Jesus though, and he prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me along the way. And about around the year 2000, the Lord began to draw me, and I knew that you know, it was time to put things down and to you know, seek Him. So, kind of first step in my coming back, I went to a church, started going to a church. I'm a musician, was playing guitar and singing in this church, and for about 3.5 years going to the church. And we had so much music to play in this church that I actually damaged my arm. I damaged the tendon in my arm from playing guitar, because I hadn't played in about 20 years. And so we had a lot of music, and I rehearsed a lot during those days, and my arm got worse and worse and worse. And finally it got to the point where I couldn't play anymore, and I actually had to have surgery on the arm because the tendon was worn out. You know, some people have army injuries. I had a, you know, guitar injury, you know, musician injury there, if it were. But the Lord was beginning to work on me, because even though I was attending church and I would take my Bible occasionally, you know, to the services, I didn't read it. I didn't know anything about the Word of God, to be honest with you. I was enjoying playing music, and you know, a lot of the folks in the church were the same way. But you know, we can't blame the church on that, because I had the Bible sitting in my lap the whole time. So that's my fault. You know, it's not the church's fault by any means. But the Lord began to just really draw me into a little deeper you know, relationship with Him. And so I sat in the audience and I looked up at what we were doing with this music, and I thought, man, you know, this isn't right. I mean, it was really just a show. You know, we had same guys that I had played rock and roll music from high school up you know, playing music up there. And so the Lord, you know, He used that to ease me kind of out of the world. But then I began to, you know, really realize that there was just something not there, you know. So I was at home one day, and I was in my bathroom, and I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I heard plain in my spirit, as if You were speaking to me, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." And I just was silent for a second or two, and I thought, and I knew God was speaking to me, and I had never heard God speak to me like that. He said it again, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." And I'm telling you, sweat poured out. I got fear, because I knew God was telling me something. I said, "God, what are You saying to me? What are You telling me?" He said it a third time, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you." I was in fear at that time. I mean, I honestly knew that the Lord was telling me something was really wrong with my relationship with Him. And then He said, "How do you know somebody?" And so I said, "Lord, I'm stubborn here. You're going to have to help me. What are you telling me?" And He said that again, "How do you know somebody?" And I knew what He put in my mind, what He was asking me, that I didn't know who He was. I didn't have any relationship with Him. You know, and at that time I knew two Bible verses. One was John 3:16, but I couldn't have told you where it was. And the other one was, you know, the story of the rich man. You know, that it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. But then He said, "But with God all things are possible." So the Lord put hope in my heart, and He was telling me, you know, "You don't know me, and you're in danger here, because, you know, think about that verse for a second. If there is no word in us, if there's no fruit in us, then God, we have no relationship with Him. He doesn't know who we are. So after that, I began to read the Bible. You know, I was coming out of this church. He was drawing me out of this church. And I hadn't had much experience with any of this. Hadn't had a lot of time in church. I didn't have a lot of religious, you know, things to fall back on during that time. And so I began to read the Word. I started in Genesis, and I read through Genesis, and my life just started changing. And sin began to drop off of me, and I couldn't put that thing down. And I just kept reading the Bible. I kept reading the Bible. And I read all of it. I read the whole thing. And my life completely changed at that time. It's just an absolute miracle. You know, then the Lord was beginning to teach me. And then He began to teach me, different things about the world that, you know, really wasn't what it seemed to be. And He gave me two dreams. Now, at this point in time, I didn't know that people had dreams like this. This was something totally unknown to me. And the first dream I had, this was the last day, and Jesus was coming back that day. This was the day He was coming back. And I was standing outside, and there were people all around me, and there was a guy that was with me, but he wasn't walking with me. He was kind of to my left and behind. And we were walking out in front of some buildings, and the sky was completely overcast. It was completely gray, sort of a grayish, overcast sky, completely gray, no sky anywhere. And I looked up, and there's this little wisp of charcoal smoke that came up, kind of like the Star Wars thing, you know, where it kind of rolls up. And it stopped, and it broke apart, and it said, "Stay calm, and everything will be all right." And so, you know, I was rejoicing because this was, in this particular dream, this was the second sign that this was the day Jesus Christ was coming back. I was there. I was standing there that day. And so I quickly turned to the guy that was with me, and I was going to say, you know, "Did you see that?" But he had kind of noticed it, but he was really disinterested. So he quickly got involved with somebody else, and he wasn't going to hear what I had to say to him. You know, and the Lord was showing me that some things later in my life about what that meant. So then I began to walk down this road, and the road was very narrow, very straight, and it just went off into the horizon. And I was rejoicing, and I knew that the Lord was coming that day, and I was rejoicing. You know. This dream was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. It was more like a vision. Clear, crystal, sharp, clear vision. And the Lord has used that a couple of times in my life to tell me what that dream meant. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. And the second dream He gave me, I was standing outside and it was dark. And there was this girl standing beside me. And I could tell she was into the New Age. She just had that look. Black hair, black clothes. And I knew this person was into the New Age. And we were looking into the sky, and there were stars from one end to the other. It was not like, you know, the real stars. And they formed what kind of looked like zodiac signs. It wasn't a zodiac signs, but it was just these different things. And to the right was formed out of stars was this woman. And it was a woman dressed in a Roman garb. And she was laying on a couch. It was kind of like a Roman-style couch. Just, you know, not like a ladylike pose. It wasn't ugly. It was, you know, it was a harlot is really what it stood for. And so here out of stars was this woman. And this girl beside me looked up at me and said, "They're getting ready to come down." Now, at this time, I'm about 3 or 4 months into this journey of beginning to read the Word. I hadn't yet gotten introduced to the Unleavened Bible Study, so I didn't realize at the time what that meant. But, of course, that's talking about the dragon that's going to, the tail that's going to sweep the stars down. This is the falling away is what that's about. The Lord gave me those two dreams because it kind of set the tone for what He taught me and showed me in the last few years. He gave me those two dreams. So about 2 or 3 or 4 months later, the Prophecy Club came to town, and that was the first I'd ever heard of the Prophecy Club. I don't even remember how I got, you know, the word that was Prophecy Club, and it just happened to be Brother David in the Fall of America, Rise of the Saints tour. So I went up to this meeting, and Brother David was there, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints, and got introduced to the Unleavened Bread teachings. During this Prophecy Club, they asked for a volunteer, for somebody to keep all their materials and tapes, because as they were going to come through each time, you know, they wanted somebody to come set them up. So I said, "Yeah, I'll do all that," you know. Mm-hmm. So I went home with about 15 boxes of all those tapes, you know, from all the Prophecy Club stuff. And, you know, some of it was pretty good, but, you know, some of it is kind of strange. But, so I had all these wonderful teachings, started to go through all the stuff from the Unleavened Bread Bible study, and things really began to change. And then about 2 or 3 months later, my wife and I, we tried to go to different churches after this. You know, we went from one church to another, and I just was amazed that every church we went to was exactly the same. I could have gotten right up there and played the same music because they did the same, in the same order, the same song, same thing, one after the other after the other. And we, and you know, I just really didn't understand what was happening. I thought I was losing my mind because I didn't have any frame of reference, didn't have anybody, you know, to talk to about this. But the Lord was, He was pulling me out, and He was showing me, you know, what was going on in the world with Christianity. And so we found this little church that was right up the road from us, and went to it a couple of times, and it was pretty good. But I decided, you know, this is not where we're going to go. You know, this is not the church that we're going to be at. But they had this revival, this retreat thing. And so my wife said, well, I really want to go to this retreat. So we went to the retreat. And the Lord had me go there because at that retreat I met who became one of my best friends, and that was Brother John. And Brother John is the voice that you hear at the beginning of the Bible study. He's the guy that introduces the Unleavened Bread Bible study. And instantly the Lord knit our hearts together. We were instant friends, and we began to study the Unleavened Bread teachings, and it became our church. We slowly got out of the church. Now John had been going to this last church that I was telling you about for a long time, and that was his pastor, and they had been going together for a long, long time. You know, he had been going to that church for a long, long time. And that was his pastor. And I was telling him, I said, man, you know, this is, I'm afraid I'm going to be leaving this church. You know, so John was saying, but why? Why are we leaving this church? I said, well, it's part of the harlot, you know. And so, he had a little bit of a hard time believing that at first. But then the Lord began to show us this. And now, I was reading 1 Kings during this time. And Brother Dave, you had taught on the parable of the young prophet. But I was new to the ministry, so I wasn't aware that you had already taught this. But the Lord let John and I live this parable out. And the pastor of that church, John and I both approached this pastor about some of the teachings, you know, that were in the church. You know, pre-trib rapture was an example of one, you know, just politics from the pulpit and things like that. And so the pastor went to John, to where he worked, and said, you know, you need to come back and you need to get under my authority. You know, you need to quit listening to these folks. You need to come back and get under my authority, you know. And about a week later, I ran into the pastor, and I had already at that time, you know, told him, you know, I'm not going to be coming back to the church. And, you know, I appreciate it, you know, but I'm not going to be coming back. And so he and I sort of had a little brush one time where I saw him, and my son accepted the Lord. I said, would you baptize my son for me? And he says, he got real angry at me, and this guy's way taller. He's looking down at me, and he said, well, you need to get your baptism in your fellowship that you're going to. Boy, I'll tell you, that hit me kind of tough, because and my wife walked up and kind of broke it up, because I was getting kind of angry with the guy a little bit. But what was interesting is he repented of that, and he called me back a few days later and wanted me to have lunch with him. So I did. I went and had lunch with him, and he was telling me, he says, now you don't need to be listening to any men out there. He says, you need to get back in the church. You need to come back in the church and get under the teachings of the church, you know. And I saw him, you know, thanks but no thanks. And John and I were so close, it's really hard to describe how the Lord used that for church. He and I would spend 2 or 3 hours a day on the phone, and the topic of the conversation was Jesus. We just could not get enough of sharing the Lord between the two of us, and that became our church. But what's really interesting about this story, about the church, is that that the Lord allowed us to live this parable of the young prophet, and He showed us this through this ordeal that we were going through with the pastor. You know, the prophet, the old prophet, you know, tried to get the young prophet, and told him, says, I heard from the Lord, you come back in, you know, you come back in and eat bread and drink water with us. And so, you know, the story goes in 1 Kings that the young prophet was told specifically, you go and you prophesy against this altar, and you don't go back the way you came, and you don't eat bread and you don't drink water with them, you know. And of course, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. So if we're eating that bread, that's another bread, you know, that's another God, another Christ. And, of course, they were told not to drink water, you know, not to drink the water either. And so, you know, of course, the water is spirit because, you know, these words I speak are spirit and they're life. So the young prophet was, you know, was told specifically not to do that. And I was reading that passage and I realized that the Lord was teaching me this, that, you know, we were not to go back into that church and get under that guy's authority, number one. But not to eat the bread and not to drink the water because that's another God. Now, you got to understand that I'm kind of a simple guy. I was, you know, raised in the South all my life. And I was reading that passage and it really was kind of bewildering to me. I said, God, how could these folks who should know better, how could they worship a golden calf? That just is beyond me. Of course, you know, I know that was common in those days for those guys to worship those kind of idols. And so I asked the Lord, I said, what is the deal there? Lord, these guys should know better. These people are people of God. How could they worship a golden cow? And the Lord put into my mind, well, what kind of milk would you get from a gold cow? And I said, oh, okay. So this is prosperity doctrine. And this is why these guys go in there, is to get this, you know, this is the whole deal. So the Lord let us, so he let us live this parable, and he taught us, you know, we couldn't go back to those churches, and we can't go back into those churches because it's the bread of another God, and it's another spirit. It's a very dangerous spirit, you know. So John and I became fast friends, like I said, and for about a year or so, we every day that was our church, and we had fellowships that would kind of come and go. We would try to start a few fellowships here and there. And John began to get sick, and as many of you know, John eventually passed away. But the Lord used that dream the second time that I was telling you about, when I was my wife and I had decided to move, and it was actually a house that was close by where John was living. And I asked the Lord, you know, is this something that we need to be doing? You know, should we be moving to this house? And so I said, you know, I need to know for sure. I need for you to tell me for sure. You know, I need some signs from you that this is what you want me to do. You know, and the first thing was the housing market was just going down, and so I was saying, you know, I would like to see somebody come that doesn't have another house to sell, and we can get, you know, right through this thing. And so that's what happened. This girl showed up, didn't have a house to sell. She gave me all her papers and her check. I went to copy the check. And the scripture was on the check that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So I said, okay, Lord, that's pretty good. That sounds a lot like you. And so we went over to the house, and we were looking through it, and went in the bathroom, and there was this magazine laying face up. And the guys that we were buying the house from was Christian. And I picked up the magazine, and the title of the magazine was Stay Calm, and the subtitle was And Everything Will Be All Right. So, you know, amazingly, exactly the way I'd seen it in that dream. So I said, okay, this is where we need to be, you know. So we moved in there, and you know, over time, John became more sick, and eventually he passed. And that was very difficult. I have to be honest with you. That period of time was very difficult because I know where John is, because Brother John bore fruit. Let me tell you, there is a fellowship to this day of disciples that he did, of people that he shepherded and disciples, and there's no doubt in my mind that where John is, and I'm looking forward to seeing him, John, soon. The funny thing about John is, well, we were about as opposite of two people that, as anybody could be, but the Lord just, you know, our common ground was Jesus, and every day, you know, we shared the Lord Jesus. And so John, last August, John went home to be with the Lord, and it was kind of tough for me, I'll be honest with you. Even knowing that John is where he is, I went through a period of time of grieving for John, the loss of John, and not really knowing what to do with 2 or 3 hours a day of my time because we spent so much time, you know, talking on the phone. But about 3 months after John passed, the Lord brought that dream up to me again, and he really showed me the meaning of that dream. Stay calm is entering into the rest. Stay calm is entering into the rest and ceasing from my works and producing fruit. And so he showed me, he says, I'm putting you back on that road. Or really, you're continuing on this road. That road was straight and narrow. And so, you know, what he's telling me is, you know, what he was telling me was, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, producing fruit, and you know, walking that path of holiness. It was a very narrow road. And he also revealed to me, he says, behind those clouds, you couldn't see it, but the sun is at the very end of that path. So the sun, I was walking directly towards the sun. So that's what, you know, the Lord has revealed to me from that dream, that that's what it was about. Now, it was the last day, because this is the last day. I was standing there at the last day. Well, this is the morning of the third day, so we are standing at the last day. And so that's, you know, that's another portion of the interpretation of the dream. But like I said, I didn't have a real exciting testimony to share with you, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, give that little bit of revelation to you. God bless you, saints.
Amen. Thank you, Keith. That was great.